Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program is being recorded and aired for August 29th, 2021. We're going to talk about more. Everybody wants more. The desire for more is a huge issue in our society, in our culture, in our world. Everybody wants more. And I get lots of questions about more, the things I talk about, desire, ambition, pride, vanity, all those things. They come out of the more of our life, the more of our desires. And Buddha had a lot to say about all of this. So I am going to refer to the Buddha here. It's, I think it's very important to understand his teachings. Next year, I'm going to spend the whole year on the teachings of the Buddha and the meaning of life through not Buddhism, but the Buddha. Okay, there's a difference. I'm not a Buddhist. I love Buddha, and that doesn't make me a Buddhist. I love Jesus. That doesn't make me a Christian. I love Lao Tzu. That doesn't make me a Taoist. I am not an ist kind of person, just so you know. I am a person that recognizes deep spiritual awakening in different teachers and different situations, and that's what it's all about, the awareness of all of that. And I am honored to be able to share that with you. I want to just begin with the more. More relates to desire. Desire is one of the things that the Buddha talked about as being one of the deepest problems that humanity has. And if you look at our world today, if you look at the way the world works, you will see that is very true. So I want to begin with a question that was given to me here. This is by Susan. She does not tell me where she lives. But evidently, Susan has been listening for a lot of years, she says, and she hears me talk a great deal about desirelessness. So here's what she says. First question, can you speak on the more as bad? Why do you think it's so bad? Susan, it isn't that I think of things as bad or good, right or wrong. I think of things from the point of view of what reveals, what is being revealed by my desire, my more, what is actually happening to me. So listen to what the Buddha said, and I want you to hear this as a kind of a prelude to all of this idea of desire. He says, if you sleep, desire grows in you like a vine in the forest. Like a monkey in the forest, you jump from one tree to another tree, never finding the fruit, from one life to another life, never finding peace. If you are filled with desire, your sorrows will swell. Now that's where I come from. What is my sleep? My sleep is when I forget where I am, where I forget what I am, where I forget the meaning of putting where I am with what I am and coming to the realization of my life and what is really occurring in this lifetime. This is deeply, deeply important to me. My sleep is when I'm simply enamored with maybe my needs, my wants, my emotions, my passions, when I'm enamored and totally consumed by the idea of a better life or a happy life based on my desires, the achievement of my desires. That's when I'm asleep, when I turn my head away from my consciousness and the development of consciousness. That's when I fall asleep. So then I start living in the world like a monkey, going from one thing to another, one promise of happiness to another with more. More this, more that. If I get this, if I work hard for that, then I will be happy. Everybody's trying to make the state of the body and the mind, that link of body and mind, happy, appeased is a better word. So when I am thinking that I'm happy, it is because I have given up my life for the state of my body and the emotions that, well, govern my body. And I live totally and completely for the sake of desire, ambition, pride, and vanity. And when I do that, when I live from that horrendous point of view, which is the norm for most people, I lose the meaning of everything that is important. And I live in the supplication of the superfluous, the mind, the body that is superfluous to the meaning and the existence of love. Now, I'm going to say something you're all going to disagree with, but it is a truth. When I'm busy trying to get what I want, I will forfeit the state of love. I will not be able to move into love, authentic love. And so that is why, Susan, I have so much difficulty with my students, because in the background of their minds, it's all about what can I get to appease my loneliness or my poverty or my fears or whatever they are. That's what people do. And when you talk to them about that is the death blow to their life, wanting more than what is happening now and thinking that more is better, instead of taking a brand new approach to life, totally different than just thinking that the remedy for my life is like typically money or someone I love or getting something I want that I think is essential that will make my life easier, better, more important, empowered by making people think I'm more important than what I am. That's when the sorrows begin to fall and I miss. And I carry this, as the Buddha said, from life to life, from one lifetime to another, over and over and over. This is why people will say, I've wanted this all my life. They're right. They've wanted it all their many, many lifetimes. But I have found in my 50 years of teaching that once they get what they want, they're no different than what they were. And then they have to safeguard what they got that they said they wanted, or they have to get more or whatever. And it just goes on and on and on to extremes. And we miss the substance, the meaning, and the beauty of our existence. So that is why I talk about cutting back from the more. And desire, as the Buddha put it, desire and pleasure, lust, he called it, play in your imagination. And that's, he's right, they do. They are powerful streams and they flow everywhere. When they flow into my life, they become the death blow of my living and I miss my entire life. There are many tragedies that can befall a person in their physical life in this world, but no tragedy is worse. None is worse than missing the totality of my life. And it isn't what I can experience through the body. It's what I recognize through the heart. It is love that we miss. Nothing in this world is worth missing love for. And no sacrifice that we make for what we want is a losing proposition when we are seeking to awaken to love. Shed everything you can for love. That is the most important thing you will ever learn. And that is what our life is all about. Shedding our desires for love. Thank you, Susan, for your beautiful question and your kind comments. And please forgive me. Namaste. The next one is from Hilga. She does not tell me where she lives. I need more, she says. To face the world, I will need more. More money, more friends, more. What can I do about this more that you say is so bad? Let me say something that Buddha said. It is not iron that imprisons you, nor rope, nor wood, but the pleasure you take in gold and jewels, in sons and wives. Soft fetters, yet they hold you down. Can you snap them? Can you free yourself of them? There are those who can, who surrender the world and forsake desire and follow the way. Hilga, you're only seeing the smaller part of life, not the bigger part. What imprisons us to think that we need more for the sake of survival is simply our point of view, our belief. And we challenge ourselves with these beliefs and we put them into life and make our life very difficult, not because life is difficult, but because we think that life is the accumulation of stuff, people, objects, things, and it's not. Life is what it is. Life is simply what life is. It reflects the deepest part of my understanding or the lack thereof my understanding. So I have to look at my life from a different point of view. What am I going to surrender? Am I willing to forsake what I think I need as more for the insight to understand the meaning and the significance of my existence here on earth and what that really means and how that maturates into compassion and love, into the real essence and the power of life itself? Am I willing to cut down, as Buddha said, desire and not let death after death crush me into haplessness, as the Buddha talked about? Most people would say, no, I need what I need. And we are slaves to our body. We are slaves to our mind. And we are slaves to the society that is based in these things. And we make it very difficult for ourselves to live beyond the beyond, as the Buddha stated. I love that statement. To live beyond, even beyond what I think is the best or the right or the whatever. To live beyond my thoughts, to live beyond my fears, to live beyond my body, to live beyond my emotions, to, as the Buddha said, be free. It's not iron that imprisons you, he says, nor rope, nor wood, but pleasure you take in gold and jewels, in sons and wives. Yes, that is where we blow it. And we don't even see it. And do we really want to see it? Not hardly. No, we don't. I mean, who doesn't take pride in their family? And everybody thinks family is everything. So then you listen to the Buddha and go, well, he's against family. This is a pedestrian mentality thing, thinking that. It isn't about being against or for. He's saying how you want these things removes you from the ability to awaken spiritually, to see the bigger picture, to understand the nature of life itself. That's really what it's all about. Can you snap them, as he said? These soft fetters, the ones that, we cling to through sentimentality, They're They're difficult. They're difficult to deal with, and they're difficult for people to understand. And that's what it's really all about. Can I let those things go? It's up to you. Can you? Will you? Will you allow that to happen? I don't know. Hilga, your question is very, very good, and thank you for sending it. And this is the turning point in a person's life, and I can't make that turning point into an argument that would convince you of the nobility of it and even the necessity for it. So please forgive me. Namaste. Last one's from Sarah. Very interesting lady. I don't know her. Don't know where she lives. But she wrote me a beautiful email. And then she said, answer me this, please. What more can I offer to people in order to help, Sarah? Sarah, you are about the only person in my radio audience who has ever emailed me being at least interested in helping others. Nobody else asked that question. not one single person. How do I help others? How do I help people? They'll say, how do I help my family? Da 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 da. But not people. So Sarah, I bow to you. I'm going to surrender to Gandhi. You have to be the change you want to see happening in this world. That's what you have to do. And if you and I are going to help people, we have to help them through the means of love. O seeker, said the Buddha, give up desire, shake off your chains. You have come out of the hollow into the clearing. The clearing is emptiness. Desire is a hollow. And people understand freedom as being in the hollow. Don't go there. Just be a light. Be a light unto yourself. As Buddha said, the more you can share with people from the compassion of your loving heart, the more you will find what it means to live and help others. You end the sorrow of your own life and you have helped everyone. That is the truth. And if you can understand that, understand this is what the Buddha said. The fool is his own enemy. Seeking wealth, he destroys himself. Seek rather the other shore. Yes, seek the other shore. Understand the meaning and the significance of compassion. Don't expect people to appreciate you because they won't. They just won't. In the closing moments of Buddha's life, he gave us some of the most beautiful teachings. Honor the man who is without passion, hatred, illusion, and desire. And what you give people, he said, from desirelessness, from wakefulness, will be given back to you and more. Always remember that. It will be given back to you and more. Don't be fooled by the matter of appearances. Just be the light you wish to have others understand and live in it quietly. Live your life in simplicity, solitude, and silence. I'm out of here. Thank you for listening. Have a beautiful weekend. I hope all of this helped you in some way or another. I am so deeply grateful to be with you. Please forgive this, teacher. Namaste.